Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Love it with some passion. Rubber band and the money that keeps stacking. Got a honey who come with elite fashion. She too fine, I tell her that thing magic. You ain't a hustler, you broke, well that seems tragic. Got a catch in the field like deep passes. I tell her plug if it's sticky, then please bag it. I need the best cause I grew up beneath madness. Need a matte burgundy mercy. Jewelry so heavy it might hurt me. Smoking extra kill, that extra seal. Whoa. Buffalo money need extra bills till I'm eating so much I gotta
bring. Yo, yo, yo! What is up? It's your boy, Sterls for the Girls. And my dog, Albro Co. And it's the Chop Up. It's Tuesday night up in this thing. And we over here representing the Buffalo Rumblings vidcast feed. Man. What a weekend of sports and football for those of you who rock the maize and blue and the blue, red, and white, two champions we have here. You know, backstage a minute ago, I was talking to my dog over here, and I was, you know, like, you know, when you talk to your friends, like, you tell them the exciting points in your life, and sometimes, you know, it's reciprocated with a ho-hum attitude that he gave me, saying that the game was boring. And I was like, bro, like, you should be excited for your dog. You know, team got a natty. You know what I mean?
I said, I know you're happy. I said, congratulations. I said, the game was boring. Like, that's all. I fell asleep during it.
I needed a public congratulations from you. Right? I didn't get that. From Twitter. I need to document it. You know, it's just a tough crowd. But you know what?
A game I fell asleep at. I can't do it.
Well, you're going to have to be a big boy now. My boy Daryl, see, this is my Negro right here. I mean, I ain't gonna cap right. This is my dog because he and I, we share in our love for the Wolverines. Okay. You know, it was just a magical night, man. It was a magical night where I got to enjoy a championship. You know, it just 27 years ago, the Michigan Wolverines shared it with Nebraska. This is the first full championship that the Wolverines have gotten in football since 1948 that wasn't shared. So it's been a long time coming, man. And you know what the cool part about this is? Young Buck over there, when you get a little kid, you know, when you get Albro Poe Jr., all right, when he comes along and when your team wins the natty, you're going to look at him. And this is what I told my son last night. I said, hey, this moment no one could take from us. When I was your age, Michigan won the natty in 97. Now I get to share that with you. It was the coolest moment ever, man. Wow. We were both emotional. It was just fantastic, man. But that's anyways, enough about me. How are you doing, bro?
First, my team is never going to win the natty, and my college team, because they are left in the pack two. So my team will never win the national championship, I don't think.
Who is your team?
Oregon State. This year was their best opportunity, and they squandered it in three games. So,
Your coach went to Michigan State.
He wasn't that good of a coach. I actually like the new coach better, but college is just not that fun to watch for me anymore.
Yeah, understandable. But for those of you who do like to watch it, boy, Michigan put on a show last night, man. Defensively, they put on a show. They put on a clinic. You know, there was a lot of talk about Mr. Penix, and rightfully so. The dude is phenomenal. Roma Dunze, you know, a target for the Buffalo Bills that will be out of reach by the time they pick. But number two wide receiver in the nation. You know, they got three wide receivers that I believe are NFL guys. And Michigan held them. They had 14 total drives on the game, and they had 13 points total. So, I mean, Michigan, legendary performance.
The benefit of Jim Harbaugh, and from what I did watch, he runs like a real NFL. He runs the shell that that Sean runs. And, like, his players are fairly aggressive out of it. They know what they're looking for. And I think Penix's stock dropped tremendously last night. I think he saw a real NFL-style defense, and he struggles a lot. And it'll be interesting to see how he does in the NFL.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I think he'll be okay. But yeah, I mean, he kind of had the Tua effect where you take away that first read, get him patting the ball, kind of looking around. You take the short game away, and then now you got to make decisions and big boy throws. And unfortunately for him, last night, man, he faced the defensive line that was best in the country, and they definitely, you know, it's kind of what we talk about when we talk about the Bills and the Ravens, right? Kind of the same game plan. That I think the Bills are going to roll out there when they face Lamar Jackson in the AFC Championship game. My dog Julian is up in here, man. What's up, bro? What's up, big dog? Good to see you in here, man. Daryl says Jesse Minter runs the Ravens defense. So yeah, man, it's pretty good. But enough about the Bills. I mean, the Wolverines. I mean, they're both champions. Don't get me wrong. But let's talk about these Bills, man. You know, after Sunday night, you know, I was just not in disbelief, but man, I was kind of just hung up on they made the playoffs. And when things kind of settled down, you know, I knew this, but I realized that, damn, they're the number two seed in the AFC. And that's huge. That is big time, bro. Big time.
I really hope that look, I thought that the Taron Johnson interception when we ended up going to the AFC Championship would do it. And I had this conversation with multiple people. I had it with Spence. He FaceTimed me after the game. And I was hoping that Taron Johnson interception would take away the negativity and the history of what the Bills have been in the past, where people would just constantly bring it up. It's like, oh, here we go again type of attitude. And now that we went 6-6, like I brought up the Patriots got to a point where no matter how they were doing in the season, no matter what was going on in their season, everybody believed they were going to be there at the end. And so I'm hoping that this game, us being 6-6 and coming back, will get the fans to a point where they can enjoy the season rather than here we go again type of attitude all season, because that here we go type of attitude all season kind of feeds into the players. There's not much to do out here in Buffalo. And I don't say that in a negative way. It's just like, it's snowy outside. You can't go many places or else people will see you and as a player. And so you get home and you see that stuff online and you kind of read into it a little bit, and it may affect the way that they go about their lives. And I'm hoping that coming back down 6-6, taking the AFC East, everything that they overcame this year will kind of turn the tides on how fans feel and see the year go on. And they just have the confidence in the team with Josh Allen on it, regardless of the situation throughout the year. So I'm really hoping that this will turn that tide. Now, obviously a championship will help do that as well, but I'm hoping that as far as the AFC East goes and making the playoffs and getting over that hump of like having no belief in or not that belief in your team, we'll be done with that. And we can be like, okay, we'll be there in the playoffs at the end.
You know, and what you're saying is not wrong. I just think that's wishful thinking for Bills Mafia. I mean, this is the most passionate fan base in the league. One of the top three, let's just say. We're not even be arrogant here. The fans, you know, eat, sleep, breathe, die Buffalo Bills football, whether they're top of the league or if they're bottom dwellers. I mean, I remember being a fan when the Bills, you know, were 7-9 all the time, or the year before when Stevie Johnson dropped that touchdown pass against Pittsburgh in overtime, and then the Bills drafted Marcell Dareus. We were still passionate about that team. It's just one of those things where it is what it is. You know, you would, like you said, you would hope that at some point you got to realize the DNA of the football team. You got to realize who Josh Allen is and some of the nucleus of the defense is, and where they're not going to let this team squander positioning like that. You know, they may have their bumps and bruises, just as every NFL team has during a season. You and I talked about this a lot, even off air, where you kind of have to just stay the course and take week by week. You know, they talk about this. The NFL is so week by week, man. And I at times, you know, you talked me off a ledge at times where I came in here just pissed off about stuff. You know, but
and that's where I'm at. Like, we're like, you don't want the team to ride the roller coaster of the mm-hmm. ups and downs. Like, you don't want that. You want them to stay level throughout the year, whether it's up and down. You want them to stay level headed. Well, at a certain point, you as a fan, or us as a fan base, have to also not ride the roller coaster of the ups and downs and stay level regardless of what's going on. And that also in turn will help out the team, who also is aware of everything going on. You don't think you heard everything that they said when they were sick, when they won. You heard mm-hmm. everything Josh said, McDermott said, Jordan said, everybody that was in an interview afterwards. They thought we were dead. They thought we were this. They thought we were that. Like, they thought there was no chance we could win the East. Well, yeah. All of that comes from the media and our fan base. That, like, that, and other fan bases. That comes from being on social media and seeing that stuff. So if you know that the players are seeing this stuff online, then let's try to be that fan base that believes that we're going to be there at the end, regardless of what happens throughout a season, regardless if we have 12 men on the field against the Broncos. And like, that's hella bad. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's terrible to do, but like afterwards we, all right, you know what I mean? Next game, next week.
Yeah.
That's where the Patriots got to at some point. It didn't matter if you beat the Patriots, because the next week they were to come out and win, and they were going to talk to whoever they were playing against that week. Sure. And then the next time you see them, is going to be in the playoffs, and you are going to lose that game. Like, that's where they got to.
They won so many games in Super Bowls, so I understand why, you know, Boston fans will feel that way. We just haven't reached the pinnacle or the zenith of this era of Buffalo Bills football yet, which I'm here to tell you, you know, if the Wolverines can do it, where, you know, you talk about 3 years ago, 4 years ago, the Wolverines were not a good program. They had some issues, man, and they showed the world that you could do it without having all these five-star recruits. You just have to draft. I mean, you have to recruit and develop, right? And, you know, we see a lot of that with the Buffalo Bills. And I think we talk about Brandon Bean and his draft history, which we're going to talk a lot about that in the offseason, Poe. Some of that I got to eat some shit on. Like, he's drafted his ass off, and it just taken a little while for some of these guys to mature. Let's talk about.
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
Go ahead. Yeah. Get your comment, well, and then I have a.
The Brennan and this coaching staff, they recruit and they draft specifically. They go for talent, but they specifically go after. I don't know the word for it, but your mind and like how you are as a person, your character. That's what I was looking for, your character. They specifically go after your character because they know, regardless of if you're going to be in the situation where you're down or out, you're resilient. And that's what they want on the team. They obviously see talent, but the character is what they're looking for the most part when they're drafting. And so when you draft for character more so than talent a little bit, it's going to take a little bit of time to develop. Now, we've seen guys that win the third round, some, like two running backs in particular, Singletary and Moss, who have played well this year, and we don't have them on the team currently because they didn't have time to develop. Now, we have James Cook, so obviously it doesn't hinder us, but that's my point, is that it takes a little bit of time for these players to develop, which is why rookies in general don't really get the love that they want here, is because they're not fully developed yet, the guys that they do draft. And so, like Baylen Specter, who knows like where he could end up. Terrell mm-hmm. Bernard took a couple years to develop to where he's at, and see what's happened with his development. And who knows what would happen if we played him as a rookie, if he would have struggled and didn't come out and play the way that we wanted him to play. Now everybody's wondering, like, for example, the other day we had a conversation about Osiris Torrance.
Sure.
And if he didn't play this year, and or if he just was a rotational guy and he played well in those rotations and then struggled a little bit, what we as a fan base, we would sit here and say Osiris Torrance needs to get more playing time because he's shown that in spurts he can play well. Now, the fact that he's played the entire year and he's a rookie and he struggled a little bit, now we kind of look at it like, damn, maybe we need to look in the draft for a guard because he struggled a little bit. And like that, he's a guy that might take a little bit of time to develop. Spencer Brown, take a little time to develop. So
no, you're absolutely right on that. And, you know, my thing with bringing up Osiris Torrance is, hey, like, he is the future at right guard. However, it's one of those things where you have to pull the right levers. And you have to bring in some competition to you want to fortify that position, right? If you look at our guards, both McGovern and Torrance, you know, you would say like, okay, Torrence has a little bit more built-in excuse because he's a rookie. McGovern, I mean, linemen are going to get beat from time to time. You know, you just want to bring in some competition. Like if you have an opportunity, the Bills have 9 picks in the upcoming draft. You want to try to go and get some guys that like, okay, if this guy goes down, we got a guy in the wings that we could rely on that, you know, we're not going to miss a beat offensively. So it's more of that. Not that Torrence can't develop, but one thing that you can't fix, in my opinion, from an offensive line standpoint, is slow feet. You know, we saw this with Cody Ford. Now, what the Bills did with him, I don't agree with, right? But you can fix hand placement and you can fix anchor. And those are things that offensive lineman you can fix. And I think he can, you know, we've seen times this season where he's done really well at that, and others he hasn't. And it's just going to happen. Christian Wilkins is a really, really good defensive tackle, along with Christian Barmore. So to the point I was making, go ahead.
Oh, my bad. No, you're good. They're going to go after talent. That's not what I was saying. They're not going to go after talent that doesn't have high character. That's my point. They'll go after talent like Kincaid, very talented tight end, and they went and got a high talented guy, but his character was where they wanted it to be, to where they can instill the culture that they have here already into guys that are young. They're not going to go get guys that are on the edge of character, even if they're highly talented. I just don't believe that being drafted that way or McDermott. They're a high character, high caliber type of drafters.
Yeah, and to your point, you know, I think there are teams out there that can take flyers on guys who may be a little bit more risky, say like the Seahawks. Like Pete Carroll's, the way he coaches and the culture that they have kind of tends to have guys that, you know, maybe on the fringe in terms of character, but Pete's able to really like get into their minds and really get them to be the best versions of themselves. The Bills are a little bit more different, I believe. And I don't know necessarily what goes on in the locker room, but just from an outsider's point of view, it does feel like that the Buffalo Bills, you know, along with value and character, they want guys in there that are ready to come in and play and be businesslike. And they're going to allow you through that to be who you are, personality wise, but with the understanding, hey, like your football character does matter. You and I talked last week about the unanimous number one overall prospect quarterback, mm-hmm. right? Why don't you take the floor here and kind of for those who weren't in the conversation, with all of you here, kind of talk about what we talked about Caleb Williams and his football character.
Right. So Caleb, one of the most talented quarterbacks that we've seen, at least in a draft prospect wise, the recruiters all say it, the fans all say it. The problem with that is you have a guy that's a little bit immature and his character isn't where we would like him to be if you're a fan of his, because you're asking him to come in and lead. Not only is he going to lead a bad team, he's going to lead a group of 53 grown men who have to follow him for that team to be successful at all. And so if you bring in a guy into a setting where you're losing all the time with a group of men that don't believe in his character at all, he's just not going to be successful. Baker Mayfield is doing well in Tampa Bay right now, but the place that he went to, Cleveland, while he did have some success there, he wasn't what he could have been. And it's because the place there that he went to is not sustainable for the character that he had coming out of college. And so
true.
I don't have a problem with Caleb's talent. I have a problem with, like, if he came into Buffalo, these players will not let him act like that.
Right.
The players that they have on this team, the leadership, the veterans, the coaching staff in particular, but mostly the players, if say there was no Josh Allen, he's not acting like that in Buffalo. He'll get a quick lesson very fast about how fast he'd get sat down. And so I think as far as like talent wise, I really think if you don't draft for high character, there's a lot of talented players in the draft. If you don't draft for high character, then you're not getting the best prospects.
No, you're right there. And the reason, honestly, the reason why we brought this up, because I want to talk to you about something. And it's what, you know, football prognosticators would call glue guys. Guys where you have a championship caliber DNA. You and I talked about this on Intentional Grounding on Sunday night, where you have guys who in the weirdest, most inopportune times, if I want to say, step up and make a big play for your team. Mostly, notably, we're talking about guys like Deonte Hardy, Trent Sherfield, guys that, you know, we weren't really big fans of because they didn't really produce. Khalil Shakir and Dalton Kincaid. I mean, those are just four guys. Tyrell Dotson, Terrell Bernard. I mean, Christian Benford. I mean, you look at the total of these players, excuse me, and you see, like, man, like, when the chips are down, like, these guys continually have come through in big moments. And that I want to make sure everybody knows, and I want you to kind of take this and run with it a little bit. That's not normal. That is not a normal thing. And so people out there who watched the game on Sunday or who have watched the games, you know, periodically this season, when you see guys like that step up, it's not because, I mean, they're in the NFL, obviously, but man, those are very special moments. They're few and far between. And as fans, as analysts, as media, we gotta love those moments, man.
Yeah, and just to shoulder on top of that, that's a championship caliber. When you have certain guys that can step up in certain moments that aren't known, for example, Kadarius Toney, I'm not even gonna respond to that because it's gonna get me off into a tangent that I don't want to get onto today, but Kadarius Toney for the Chiefs last year when they won their championship made a huge play. This guy in a culture that they had set, he came in and had the ability to make a play when it mattered. Deonte Hardy, mm-hmm. if things are not set up and he doesn't have the culture that we have here, maybe he doesn't make that play. And now, sure. And especially like rookies, like if you come in and you don't have the right culture, they can get onto that bust or dropped or that journeyman thing fast. And they could have had the same talent that same guy could have had the same talent as somebody else on the team. Christian Benford, for a perfect example. If he's not in the right system, right culture, well, I don't want to say system because he's a great player. If he's not in the right culture, he may be a backup cornerback for life had he not been in had the right mentality, had the right character, and the right culture. He may have been a backup cornerback, a special teams guy, a journeyman, a punt guy for 6-7 years. But because he came in the fifth round to this team, and they gave him a shot because he had the right character, now he's a starting cornerback and one of the best. I don't want to say the best or in the top 10 or whatever, but he's one of the best cornerbacks in the NFL if you look at it from a totality standpoint. So there's certain groups and certain cultures that you set that allow these guys that may not have had a good opportunity on a bad team to shine in the right moments. And when they shot, that's where you get your championship caliber. You get a Sherfield to maybe go for a 60-yard game in the playoffs where he has a touchdown catch. That's a crazy touchdown catch. Or a Deonte Hardy to catch a third and long for a first down. Like, you get those guys that are just ready when the time is right. And you have to have a good culture to say that.
Yeah, so, the Buffalo Bills culture is verified. I mean, it really is. I mean, you come away impressed, and it starts at the top, you know, with Sean McDermott. Now, I haven't been a fan of his for quite some time. I mean, he's kind of soured on me a little bit. But one thing I have to admit is that what he's been able to do since that article has been simply remarkable. Some of the things that we talked about that he needed to improve on was situational football. I feel like he's made some improvements there. He's made some improvements in terms of game plan and adjustments in the second half. Like, those are things that, like, are important. And, I always want to give credit where credit's due. And Sean McDermott has done a phenomenal job. Brandon Bean getting Rasul Douglas for a fourth round pick, basically. Those are kind of things, man. It's championship caliber DNA. And that's when we talk about that, I say this to say, if those of you out there who don't think the Buffalo Bills have a shot at the Super Bowl, you're mistaken. This is the football team who battled adversity, who for the past 2 years, not this year, but the past 2 years have been the darlings of the NFL, and they've kind of been humbled. I think they've truly been humbled. From Josh Allen to Tre'Davious White to Matakevich. I mean, this is a team that has been humbled, and I'm telling you right now, like the things that you see, it kind of reminds me of a young Bulls team back in the day. Like, I don't know if you got the, you know, you're a young buck. You probably didn't really get to see it from the lens that some of us did that are old heads in here. But you saw a point where Michael and the Bulls, they realized, like, we're good. We got Tony Kukoc. We got Pippen. You know, we got, I mean, they had guys around, and it, you know, it just clicked, like, okay, we're about to take this damn thing. And I feel like that's where the Bills are. The Bills are at the precipice of, they could be really special or they could really fumble the bag. But I like to tend to agree that they're about to be pretty special. They're playing, they're hot, and they're playing their best football at the right moment. And if you take away, you know, people say, well, you know, you really can't say that because the offense looks like this, or Josh Allen's still making those mistakes. I'll take those mistakes to an extent because of the 4, 5, 6 phenomenal plays that many quarterbacks can't make that he's making. That's why you and I really didn't talk about those mistakes Sunday night, because to an extent they're kind of irrelevant, because he did so much more to put the team in position to win the game. So what are your thoughts on that championship caliber DNA?
I'll start just off the last thing you said. Irrelevant may not be the right term. Like, I wish he didn't do that shit. Like, this is what I said in a tweet. You take what you take with Josh Allen. It is what it is. And
it's experience. So,
right. Like, you're going to get, sometimes you're going to get where he plays perfect is 40 to 17. Sometimes mm-hmm. you're going to get the interceptions and your defense is going to have to hold you in it until Josh turns up in the forward. Like, that's the experience that Josh has given you. That's the experience that we've come to know. And so this goes back to my thing with the fans about, like, the naysaying that happened in the middle of the season. It's like, yeah, but for the last 3 or 4 years, I think Nick Wright brought this up, and we've won 4 games in a row in 1 year. We won 6 games in a row 1 year. We won 7 games in a row 1 year, and we won 5 games in a row this year. And so there comes a point where this team figures it out for the last 4 years. And they have done that this season. And like, when you go into next season, whenever that comes, understand that this team with Sean McDermott and the way it's formed, and it's going to be a new team every year with new problems. It'll take a little bit. Sometimes it's going to take a little bit of time to figure it out. And the championship caliber teams learn how to figure it out throughout the season, because they know it's a new season. It's not the same team you had last year. It's not, this is not the 40 points a game you're going to get from Josh. Sometimes it's like every now and then you might get a 30 plus points a game. Like, it's a different team every year, and you have to understand that they're going to work it out. That's why they are who they are. They're going to work it out throughout the season. So that to me is championship caliber, a team that can come in with a new roster every year other than your core guys, and you piece it together regardless if you're struggling, and you're going to figure it out along the way. And once you figure it out, then you can go on one of these 4, 5, 6, 7 game runs,
right?
And that's when you catch fire, and you hope that's towards the end of the year. And you keep that throughout the playoffs. And some teams are better at doing that consistently all the way through the playoffs. Some teams, once you win a championship, it waterfalls, that like the Patriots did. And so that's where I stand on this team. I'm always going to have confidence, as long as Josh Allen is on this football team, I'm going to have confidence that they're going to be in the playoffs and be there to win something at the end of the season.
No, that's I think that's solid, man. I think you're absolutely right there. There's Mama P in here, dog. Mama P is in the house. What is Sarah talking about in here? She says, "No more meme stirls." What did I do? What's she talking about?
I think you reiterated my naysayers and laughed, and she.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. There's been let a naysayer know. You know, yeah. Hey, hail,
my homes.
Hail, you know.
Pat Mahomes was hilarious. Or not Pat Mahomes. Who was it that said that on whose show is that? He was like, I'm sure that's not what that meant. I forgot who it was.
Oh, it was on ESPN. It was on ESPN. And yeah.
It was Pat McAfee. Was like, Pat McAfee. Yeah, yeah.
Pat McAfee was that. If you haven't seen that sports clip, for those of you who haven't seen it, you might want to go check it out. It's pretty funny where they're talking about the Alabama quarterback and kind of a slogan that he came up with. And basically it was about an offensive coordinator who said he shouldn't play quarterback, who's no longer with the team. And he kind of, you know, chip on the shoulder, let a naysayer know. But we know in the locker room, it's not necessarily let a naysayer know. Just putting that out there, you know, you can put the N where you need to. But, you know, back to what we were talking about. When we look at the AFC playoff picture, and this is what I wanted to come talk to you about tonight. I think we're in agreement that the Buffalo Bills, despite their flaws, offense, defense, where everyone look at it, I would say that this is the most confident that I felt about the Bills winning the Super Bowl in the last 3 years. This is the most confident I felt. I feel like this is the most complete team that you have to win a Super Bowl. Now, next year may be a different story, but we're talking about right now. And you look at the AFC playoff picture, we got the Pittsburgh Steelers coming up this week. And there's supposed to be some snow. For those of you, you know, you live out there. I hear that there's supposed to be some snow. You know, not snow bunnies, but some snow coming down in the Orchard Park. You know what I'm saying? And can I be honest? I feel like the Bills are going to mop these boys. Like, it could be an 8-point game. It could be close in the third quarter. But I feel like, regardless of the score, I just don't feel like it's going to be close. I feel like the Bills have kind of flipped the script. They hit the switch on, and it's go time. And I feel like they're going to dismantle the Steelers. How are you feeling coming into this playoff game this weekend?
I mean, I'm always going to say that because I don't even want to say our best. At our most consistent team that we have, the offense not turning the ball over, like, this team has been very consistently winning. And when they get the lead, it blows up. And so, but at our worst, you're going to get a one score game. And in these one score games, since the 2-4, I posted this today on X, since 2-4 in one score games midway through the season, when we were 6-6, we are 4-0 in one score games. And that was a narrative that was created. It's like, oh, we struggle in one score games. Our defense can't hold anybody in the last drive. We've done that the last three of the last four games. We've held people on the last drive of the game. So, like, and that those have been in one score games. And so the narratives, when you're able to change and develop your ability to close out a football game, when that was what you were supposed to be struggling with, and now you either could win by a lot or it's going to be a one score game where we're confident in you to close it out. It's really tough to beat that team.
Yeah, it really is tough. And, you know, the Steelers are going to be without TJ Watt. I think it's a sprained MCL. So, I mean, he's going to be out for a few weeks. I mean, now it's not going to matter after this week, but, you know, you hope he gets better. But, you know, the Steelers can't move the ball on offense. And if it's snowing, you know, you talk about Josh Allen versus Mason Rudolph, who will be wearing a glove. It's going to be tough sledding in the snow wearing a glove. It just is. I don't know if you guys have ever tried to throw a football in the snow with a glove on. It's now, you know, they got some really good gloves in the NFL for sure, but it's going to pose some problems. The guy who really doesn't have, you know, big time arm strength, and that offense in and of itself. I mean, when the Bills take away the slant routes that they like to run with Deontay Johnson and you know, face, NFL right? NFL young boy, it's a wrap. Yeah. It is a wrap.
I think it's a wrap. The idea is that they're going to run the ball a lot, and so, like, I just don't think that if you're going to try to be one dimensional and run the ball on us, that you're going to be able to succeed that way. And then you try to hit your little slant, like, where they've scored on 3 70-yard drives. Three of their, what, six touchdowns have been on, not 70-yard drives, 70-yard plays. 3 70-yard touchdown plays. And we just don't do that. We don't give those passes up. Those long touchdown passes, don't happen. And so if you're going to try to run the ball down the field on us, our adjustment is just not going to allow you to do that. And now we have Daquan back, and him and Ed have been wreaking havoc against teams that try to run the ball up the middle. So I just don't see where you're going to get to unless you're able to get 3-4-3 first down and do that the entire way up the field. I just don't see a world where they can chunk play us down the field.
So, yeah, and let me kind of take what you just said and kind of go a little deeper. When you look at offenses like when the Bills have played the Chiefs or the Bengals, where the philosophy is, okay, we're not going to give up the big play. We're going to let you go down the field, but you're going to have to take, you know, what the defense gives you, and you're going to have, we're challenging you to make those plays consistently. But when we get to the red zone, you're getting three, not seven. When you look at the Steelers offense, they don't have an offense where they can consistently make winning plays in the pass game to set themselves up for a second and four, third and two, stuff like that. Because, you know, you're banking on an inconsistent, albeit better version of Najee Harris that they've had in a little while. He's been playing a little better. This is the kind of game where the Bills pose as a boa constrictor, where they are going to suck the life out of you. And it's not going to be pretty for the Steelers coming up this weekend. I mean, I always try to respect each opponent where, you know, I really try to refrain from saying, well, the Bills are going to blow them out by blah, 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 blah. You know, but I respect every opponent. I just don't have much confidence in the Steelers offense. Now, defensively, they're good. Mike Tomlin has these guys dialed in. They may not have the players necessarily at every level. They do have guys. They're a much maligned defense right now. But one thing about a Mike Tomlin defense that you can always expect and rely on is that they're going to be where they're supposed to be schematically. So that's going to be there. Josh is going to have to, make plays. And you know, Cam Hayward, we talked about Osiris Torrance and Connor McGovern. Like, Cam Hayward's a guy. You know, Highsmith is a dude out there. They got guys who are going to pressure the quarterback, and they're going to have some exotic blitzes and so forth. And I welcome the challenge. I welcome the challenge for the Bills and Josh Allen to really get things kind of going. So you made a comment on Sunday night where, you know, the preseason game against the Steelers, where the Steelers beat the living snot out of the Bills, it felt like. What you want to share that? You want to share that comment?
I just, the way that the Bills are set up is like, Sean's going to use that, right? Sean's going to use that however many points they gave up in the first half as motivation. They were talking a lot of crap during the game, and granted, so like they were killing us, but that's going to be unfortunate for them. The fact that they're going to see us in the first round after what happened there, and they're going to use that all week. That's just what McDermott does. He uses anything he can get his hands on as some type of motivation. So it'll be interesting to see. The defense doesn't like to come out and get bullied. That's what we've known. So like, when you come out this with this defense, I expect our defense to really, really bring the heat this week. And I just don't see them scoring more than 10. So I just want our offense. Josh is going to be needed. His legs are going to be needed in this game to where you run a play action, something's open or not open. You got to take, like, he's going to have to take off from a lot of like these long play action throws. And I do see him running for a lot of yards this week, weather indicative.
That's a really good point that you bring up about Josh Allen running. I mean, we saw him with 13 carries, 65 yards this past weekend. You know, when it's playoff time, the Bills seem to just unleash Josh Allen on these boys. You know, you know, there's a meme out, you know, Sense always puts it up, but where he says stun on these hoes. And Josh Allen is going to come out here, and he's going to stun on them. Like, he is going to cause them to have to defend every blade of grass on the field. And part of that is you have the King Buffalo, Josh Allen, who's going to be running amok out there. And I think that's going to bode well for the offense. When things aren't going well offensively in terms of a pass game standpoint, which I don't think that's going to be the case this weekend. But, you know, if you still have PTSD of how the pass game has been in the past few weeks, you might say, well, you know, Josh Allen hasn't really been killing them throwing the ball. But, you know, you got to look at Sunday night where he had over 300 yards passing. He was phenomenal. And one of the things that they were able to do is they were able to get the quick game going. I think getting Josh Allen in rhythm with that quick game and stuff is going to prove to be a very huge factor in his game. Now, there was a question in the chat here from Boberto who says, how much of a factor is weather going to be? passing is going to be hella difficult, which I agree to an extent. And so I'm looking at the forecast for Sunday. It says scattered snow showers and wind, 42% precipitation, 25 degrees. So it's going to be cold. I think it's going to be, I mean, we've seen the Bills play in snowy weather, albeit being freezing. We saw last season when they lost to the Bengals where Josh Allen was trying to throw the ball all over the field. And they had standing snow in that game. So I don't know how bad it's going to be, but you got a quarterback who has the strongest arm in the league. I feel like the opportunities are going to be there. They're going to be able to throw the ball. I don't see an opportunity. I don't see a situation where the Bills won't be able to throw the ball. Now, how much they throw the ball, that might be a little different. But I think it kind of depends on what the running game is going to look like. Because if the – and I'm not talking about Josh Allen running the ball. I'm talking about the running backs, you know, James Cook. If they can get the run game going, I don't – you know, I see this being a game where Josh Allen has, you know, one of those 21 or 25 games or 21, 22 or 27 kind of games, 243 yards and two touchdowns, right? If they can get the run game going. If not, Josh Allen's going to have to throw the ball 30, 35 times. I don't live there. So, you know, I'm not there in the snow. You are. Do you have any thoughts on the weather this weekend?
I think it should be all right. I going back to, like, getting your shoes right, if somebody said get your shoes right, there is no – it's turf on frozen ground. There's no shoes that will keep you from slipping on turf and frozen ground. Now, you can wear the best kind of shoes you can get, but that's what they were wearing last year. So, if you're slipping on it, then you're going to be slipping on it. It's about getting short, choppier steps rather than taking long strides when it's that cold out. But, no, I don't think the weather affects – I do think Leonard probably gets a little bit more snaps. I think Ty gets a little bit more snaps. I think with the weather being what it is going to be, like Cook will get his snaps and whatnot. I also think that those big heavy hitters are going to be in there ready to run downhill a lot in this game. And so I could see us running the ball 30 times and then trying to throw it 20, 25 times in the game and bleeding clock, getting scores on every possession while our defense is sticking them. So if that's how I see long drives, short passes, first downs, getting in the end zone or a field goal for sure, and then our defense being able to stick these guys. Like, I could see that happening, and then by halftime or third quarter, having a two-score lead and then making them press. And once they press in this weather against this defense, it's just not going to look good for them. So we'll see.
Yeah, no, it's something to monitor for sure. I think, you know, this is, you know, if you look at snowy conditions, I think it, you know, it benefits the Bills more than it does the Steelers here. So, you know, I'm excited for the game, man. To kind of get some scope into the playoff schedule. So let's say the Bills win. We're expecting a Bills win. You know, they go on, and Baltimore would have to face either the Dolphins or the Browns, who I think the Browns will beat the Texans. And I think, you know, it's going to be a big game in Arrowhead, which is going to be really cold for Miami to play the Chiefs there. So any thoughts on who you think is going to win between Miami and the Chiefs in Arrowhead?
I would never bet against Mahomes. I want the Dolphins to win. I would like the Dolphins to win this game so they can go to Baltimore and play that game again. But I mean, in the end, if I say one, it's very subliminally because I really don't care. I would like the Dolphins to win so that we can knock them out of the playoffs and just hear more whining. That'd be sick. But I think that the Chiefs are going to win if I was going to have to make a bet, because I'm not going to put – I trust Mahomes to come out with a win in the playoffs.
Okay, so I agree with that. I think the Chiefs beat the Miami Dolphins. Now, I just want to see the Chiefs play a road game in the playoffs. So give me the Chiefs here. That's where my betting money goes. Cleveland, Houston, you got the AFC South winning, Houston Texans, CJ Stroud, D'Amico Ryans. What a story that's been. And then you got geriatric Joe Flacco, who's been playing well. I mean, I ain't got to take nothing from him. But I kind of feel like, you know, I just don't have much confidence in that level of play being sustained. Now with the playoffs, you know, your flaws are kind of magnified. And, you know, I think that if Joe Flacco is going to have the same success, I feel like they're going to have to get some help on the ground game. I do think they do win this game just because their defense is just really good right now. So I'll take the Browns. What say you on this game?
The Texans remind, and it's interesting that Singletary's there. The Texans remind me of us when we first got into the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. And so you're like, talking about the Houston year?
That year, or that year and the Jags year. Well, not the okay. Jags year, the Houston year. The Houston year, yeah.
Okay.
A new quarterback that looks to be one of the better, he's going to be one of the better quarterbacks in the league as far as what he looks like right now. A young receiving core. Young was perspective if you look back at that year for us. But we had a good receiving core that wasn't great anywhere. But when you get into the playoffs, it's just different football. And so this win is going to go on the back of whether or not CJ Stroud is able to keep his composure the entire game. And when you get in the playoffs against a really good defense, that's going to bring pressure. It's tough to keep your composure for that long. He's been doing it all year, but I could see them losing this game, a close one. But I could see him losing this game for sure.
All right. So with that being said, we're kind of going through this here. So, Baltimore in that scenario would play Cleveland, and the Bills would play the Chiefs in Buffalo. Oh, how glorious would that be? How glory. I need this to happen.
Well, I don't need this to happen.
No, like, I do.
It would be nice to knock out the Browns.
Why are you scared?
I'm not scared of who?
The Chiefs.
I'm not scared of the Chiefs. Jordan used to play on the Browns. So, like, I would like to knock out the Browns, too. That's, like, one of those things where they didn't trust him coming back, and I don't like the Browns. I don't like the organization. The players, I like some of the players. I hate the organization. So, knocking out the Browns and then the Dolphins would be sick. Knocking out the Browns or the Chiefs would be sick. Knocking out, I mean, we got to get this one, and this is all beneficiary of us doing that. But any path this goes, I'm going to enjoy whoever we play.
So, well, you have to be in the moment right now. So right now we're talking the Ravens against the Browns, and then the Bills against the Chiefs in Buffalo.
Be great.
I think the Bills get that game. I really do, man.
I am not scared of the Chiefs whatsoever.
Yeah, me either. And let me tell you something. And I hope, and I could be crazy here, but I really do hope it plays out this way, because I think, you know, life is much about adversity. It's much about getting over obstacles and humps. And for the Buffalo Bills speaking, for the Chiefs to come to Buffalo, and when you look in the eyes of Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs, you know, you look at Ed Oliver and these guys, they know the Chiefs coming here, the Bills will know what's at stake. They would know what's at stake.
They're about to go to the AFC Championship. They better know what's at stake regardless.
Them boys, I'm telling y'all right now, and you can give me your thoughts on this, but them boys are going to be Jordan Poyer, Micah Hyde, Rasul Douglas. Them boys are going to – I feel like they put a whooping on the Chiefs, man. I really do feel like they put a whooping on the Chiefs.
That part is fair. Absolutely. I believe that too. But I believe they beat whoever is placed in front of them on that next weekend if we're able to beat the Steelers, because I just don't think this team cares. I think they care more about, regardless of who the story is the storyline sick if we get a Chiefs-Bills game at home and we beat them and now that's the turning of the tide? Sure. But the turning of the tide, if we win the Super Bowl, that's the turn of the tide. That's the, okay, we're here to stay. There ain't nobody that's like, you win the Super Bowl, that's it. If you're in the Super Bowl and you win the AFC Championship, that's it. Like, that's this our conference. Like, that's the over the hump that everybody's looking for. So it doesn't matter who we beat. The storyline is sick if you're able to beat back Patrick Mahomes at home, but I don't care who it is, and I don't think any of the players
– And I kind of expected you to have an answer like that, right? That's just who you are, right? But I think storylines are very much a part – of the day-to-day life in the NFL. And I don't care who you are. The human element still remains, and they may not focus on it a lot, But it's still in the back of their heads. Like, yo, we got an opportunity to knock off the Super Bowl champion in our place, knowing what has happened the past few years to the Buffalo Bills. I mean, if you're Josh Allen, I'm just talking Josh Allen. You know that that's going to be a motivating factor. Not that he doesn't have a motivating factor just to suit up and be his best. But, man, I feel like there's going to be an extra run somebody's ass over. Just the idea, like, yo, no, we are going to get over this hump. I don't want to hear nobody say, well, you can't beat the Chiefs. Not in the playoffs. We are going to steamroll those boys. And I feel like this is
– I would feel disappointed if any of the players felt like that, because I want to see that attitude. Doesn't matter who plays, or else I would feel cheated. If we play the Browns and you don't have that same attitude of like, damn, we need to get to the Super Bowl one game at a time, we need to go bust these boys' ass, then I would feel cheated if you felt more intensity if the Chiefs came. I would feel cheated as a fan. And so if you don't feel that way with the Browns or whoever it was that came to this place to play, and if you don't feel that way for them and you feel that way for the Chiefs, then to me that is just you looking at it from a fan's perspective, which a fan is all right. About storylines and narratives. I want you to look at it from a player perspective. Don't matter who we play, you need to bust their ass regardless, and we need to get to the Super Bowl and win.
Absolutely. I think the two, I think the two are very viable points. Fan or not, these are still humans. Human element still is a factor in sports, regardless if people like it or not. These are things that they think about. You can't, media has a part to play in all this in terms of the narratives out there, right, wrong, or indifferent. But I do think it's something that they do think about. So, all right. So let's just say Bills, they beat the Chiefs. I'm not sure. I really have to really look. And I mean, I think the Browns giving, the Ravens will be on 3 weeks of rest. Good for the health, but I one of the things that I would monitor in that game is the mental aspect that the Ravens will bring. Like, you can't come in there rusty. They can't come in there rusty, because if they do, I think the Browns can get – I mean, the Browns beat them earlier in the season with terrible quarterback play. If Flacco continues to be what he's been, that's going to give them a hard time. We're talking about Lamar Jackson, MVP. And a divisional opponent. I think that's going to be very, very, very difficult. So do you think the Browns could beat the Ravens, or would you just say, all right, the Ravens are the number one seed and it's going to be the Ravens, Bills, AFC Championship?
Oh, they're two different things. I think the Ravens should win, but I also don't – I personally don't trust Lamar to win playoff games. So that's just how I feel until you show me different. And once you show me that, then I'll start – that it'll be there. But I haven't seen Lamar's ability to score a lot of points in playoff games. And they were supposed to win one last year with Huntley. And it would look like the same situation that they had against us when we played them 2 years ago. And so I haven't seen Lamar's ability to win playoff games. And so I do absolutely think the Browns could win that game. I think whoever goes to the Ravens can win their games if they play them correctly. And there's a lot of talent on defense in the playoffs right now. So I do think the Browns absolutely can win that game. I just Ravens should win the game. Like,
should win it. It's one of those things. We got to wait and see the results and how it all plays out. But, just kind of diving into some of those matchups. The reason why I wanted to do that is kind of shed light on as to why I'm so bullish on the Bills representing the AFC in the Super Bowl, because I just think the opportunity is there where you're in the AFC that hasn't been dominant, and you have a upstart red hot Bills who are playing extraordinary on defense, held the Dolphins to 14 points. That's impressive, man. Like, that's nothing short of impressive. So I really do think this, the Bills have a real good shot to go to the Super Bowl. And that's what we all want, man. At the end of the day, we all want the Bills to win the Super Bowl. And I think this is a prime year to get that done, So, Poe, I know you're going to be at the game on Sunday. So that means you won't be on intentional grounding, but I'll be holding it down, man. Absolutely. I'll be holding it down. you know, we'll you FaceTime me after the game, after this, you know, the celebration there, you know, it's going to be epic, man. Shout out to Jordan, you know, and all the players on the Bills. It's go time. The season starts now. The road to glory starts now. And I ain't going to cap, bro. I'm effing excited and pumped that now we're playing meaningful football, and it feels really, really, really good. So yeah. With that being said, bro, we finna get up out of here. It's been real nice talking to you on the Chop Up. This is the Buffalo Rumblings vidcast feed. So if you haven't already done so, like, follow, and subscribe. Make sure you give this show a like on YouTube. Make sure you comment. That'd be great. You know, we're always looking for ways to improve. But with that being said, you know, I gotta do this. Go Bills, but go blue.
Go Bills.
We out of here.
I need it up front. Can't tell me, cause I do what I want. Self-made everything, you know we gon' stun. You know that we eat and it's looking like lunch. So I tell them that I need it up front. Can't tell me, cause I do what I want. Self-made everything, you know we gon' stun. You know that we eat and it's looking like lunch. So I tell them that I need it.
Everything around my whole team, though. You ain't getting money, you literally never seen, though. Tell me where the cash at, I'll tell you where the stash at. I've been getting to it so long, been having fun.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Support for this show comes from ServiceNow, the AI platform for business transformation. You've heard the big hype around AI. The truth is, AI is only as powerful as the platform it's built into. ServiceNow is the platform that puts AI to work for people across your business, removing friction and frustration for your employees, supercharging productivity for your developers, providing intelligent tools for your service agents to make customers happier. All built into a single platform you can use right now. That's why the world works with ServiceNow. Visit servicenow.com/AI for people to learn more.